welcome to Final Girls Horrorcast, the show where we discuss some of the horror, thriller, and sci-fi movies currently available on your favorite streaming sites. I'm Amy.
And I'm Carly.
It's December, so you know what that means. Carly's got a cold.
Yay.
And also Friday the 13th. Well, for us, that's what it means, because this month we'll be talking about the Friday the 13th franchise, at least 1 through 8. Films 1 through 8. Today we'll be talking about 1 and 2 only. So, for those of you who aren't aware, it's currently streaming on Amazon Prime and Hulu, all 8 of them, for you to enjoy this holiday season.
It's a wonderful thing.
Hold your loved ones close and watch some Jason murder scenes.
Grab your machetes.
Deck the halls with machetes. I love how we're doing this in the... Not only is it not a Christmas movie at all, but it's not even a winter movie. They always take place in the summer.
I know. I like it.
It's Christmas. It's like summer in Christmas time.
Yeah.
Summer in December.
The best. What everybody wants.
This is what everyone wanted from us. I'm sure of it.
This is what we wanted from us.
It's true. Carly is very sick. I'm very sorry, Carly.
She's being
such a trooper.
I'm gonna mute my herself
mic every time she coughs. I appreciate that. If for some reason you listeners don't know what happens in the Friday the 13th movies and you don't want to be spoiled, then you're probably listening to the wrong podcast.
Go ahead and call yourself a horror fan.
Go ahead and rectify that and come on back. But before we talk about Friday the 13th, let's get started with a segment we like to call...
Trailer Trash Talk.
Today's trailer we're looking at is The Belko Experiment, which is due for theatrical release on March 17th, 2017. Directed by Greg McLean, who of Wolf Creek 1, 2, and 3, and also the film The Darkness. And written by James Gunn, who previously worked on Slither, Super, and Guardians of the Galaxy.
And he'll be doing Guardians of the Galaxy 2 as well.
He will. And he's also brother to Sean Gunn, who's in this movie, but is also, and more importantly, on Gilmore Girls. So.
Yeah.
Just thought I'd throw that in there. I know how much our listeners love Gilmore Girls.
It's pretty much their favorite.
Almost as much as I do.
It's true.
Maybe more than I do.
Definitely.
Yeah. This trailer is awesome.
It looks amazing, and I wish that this was coming out next week.
I know. I want to watch this now.
Can we watch this now? There's so many people in it. It's insane. Like, yeah. I'm stoked to see Michael Rooker on film again.
Yeah.
I don't know if you didn't watch... Oh, yeah, you know him from The Walking Dead. You watched a couple seasons.
Oh, yeah, no, I know all about him. He's awesome.
He's so funny.
And we
funny.
Also got Mr. President from Scandal.
From Scandal.
Which is, I'm sure, is another show that our listeners love.
I love it.
Yeah.
So they must love it.
Don't put us in a box. We can like whatever we want.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's got a lot of people in it, and it looks amazing.
It does.
I mean, okay, it's borrowed ideas. It's got a battle royale feel to it, but it's still, like, kind of an original idea, too. Very creepy. Don't like it.
We've got our good friend John Gallagher Jr. from our movie Hush that we just watched.
Yes.
Yeah.
I like him.
He's really up and coming. He's just doing it.
Good for him, man. I thought he looked familiar.
Yeah.
He looks a little different without his, like, murder mask.
Without his murder mask or his, like, sympathetic I'm trapped in a basement look.
Yeah.
He's got his businessman suit on.
Yeah. He's all business.
Sorry if I don't make any sense today, guys.
Well, it's your turn because I don't make sense any of the times we record. So
I say totally things and they make sense in my head, and then when they come out, I realize that they don't really.
Oh my God, sick Carly is so much like Amy in real life. you're like me on a normal day when you're sick.
I love it.
All right, let's jump into it. Do we need to talk about the trailer more? I mean, it just looks fucking amazing. Everyone watch it. Immediately. It looks so good.
We'll definitely have to do a special, like, spoiler, kind of like what we did with Blair Witch. We'll have to do that with this movie.
Yeah, we should do that more often.
I agree. There just haven't been that many stellar movies that I want to pay money for to go see
in the theater. Yeah, I agree with that.
My cousin tried to get me so hard to see Incarnate with her this weekend, and I was like, I love you so much. No. I'm not spending $15 to go see that movie. It's just not. I'll spend $5 to go see that movie, but I'm not spending $15 to go see that movie.
I will let someone pay me to see that movie.
That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. Okay, let's jump into it. Friday the 13th, Part 1 from 1980, directed by Sean S. Cunningham, written by Victor Miller, Sean S. Cunningham, Ron Kurtz, and Victor Miller. Do you hear me say all these names flawlessly? I mean, aren't you just so proud?
I am really impressed right now.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
I mean, I'm not really asking for praise, but yes, I am. And thank you for noticing.
You got it. You got that praise.
So Sean S. Cunningham has produced a lot of horror movies. He produced the House films, so House 1 and 2. I don't know, maybe 3. I don't have it up. He produced quite a few of the Jason movies, even the 2009 remake. And same with Last House on the Left, the original and the remakes.
Oh, that's cool. I didn't realize he did the remake. This is like, Last House on the Left is one of the most fucked up movies of all time.
I can't with that movie.
I will say I do like the remake better because it's not as like, I mean, it's brutal. Still rapey, but it's not like, it's more definitely about the parents.
Yeah.
You know.
I can't watch rape on film. It's just not something.
No.
I can't.
Like, I spit on your grave.
Like, if it's in a way where it's not, I don't know. It's usually traumatizing to me. I can't do it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's hard. It's hard to watch. That's my thing. That's my thing that I don't like.
I agree. I think that a lot of people don't. It's not really their thing.
Yeah. I mean, to me, that's not horror. Like, it is, but it's not, like, what I think of when I think of horror movies. So when they add that element. All right. Anyway, we're talking about Friday the 13th, right? That's what we're doing?
Yes.
Okay. So how do you feel about Friday the 13th, the original Part 1, 1980, Carly?
I actually really like it. I do, and I'll tell you why. Obviously it's definitely like the quintessential idea of what like a horror movie is, with all of the kids and, you know, in one place. And I also really like the mother being the killer. It's just such a, like, I don't know. Because usually when people think of Friday the 13th, they think of Jason. But Jason didn't really become what we know Jason as until the third movie.
Yeah.
Which I think is really interesting.
I don't like this movie. I like that it exists. And I love Jason. But Part 1... And I know a lot of people love Part 1, and it's their favorite movie of the franchise. But to me, there's just no characters. Like, there's nothing. Like, you get so little in terms of character development. Like, I want to kill myself watching the beginning of this movie.
I do understand. I do totally understand that. Because, you know, like, we've talked about this a lot. I like character development as well. For some reason, it doesn't bother me in Friday the 13th series, because it's really just like watching, it's like these kids came to camp and then they're all just gonna die because they were at the wrong place at the wrong time.
Yeah, I mean, I would be fine if it was just even like a very superficial character development, but I don't know who any of these people are. Like, I don't. And it's weird because they have a really cool twist ending, but they don't set it up at all. Like, okay, a little bit. Very, very little do they set it up. They set it up when they, the kid drowned there in the 50s, you know, in the diner, they say that. And that's it. That's the only setup you get. So that when it happens, it's so out of left field. Like, it's, I don't know. There's no way you could have known that was coming. And I feel like it's kind of like bullshit. It's kind of out of note. Like, you need to have a little something, a little, like, all of a sudden there's this woman here and she's telling this whole story and she's totally fucking nuts. But there's nothing of that up front and center.
I mean, I kind of like, that's kind of what I like about it, because,
yeah,
I mean, you see the opening scene, obviously, which is kind of just like how movies are, like, it's, I don't know, I feel like it's really kind of the movie that set up how other, maybe, like, how other horror movies are kind of made. You have, like, the opening with, like, the people getting murdered, but I also really like the whole thing of anybody that's, like, traveling to this camp, like, the whole town knows that there's something that's just not right there. They call it Camp Blood. Like, they try to get the cook girl to, like, not go. Like, they don't want these people in this place because they know that, like, this is not right. Like, weird things happen there. And Mrs. Voorhees is a well-known member of, like, their community. Like, she just is there. And
people. But wouldn't it have been nice if you saw her in the diner or something at the beginning?
Don't you see her? You or see her something? Later, though.
When do you see her? Other than at the very end when she shows up.
I thought she runs into someone, like, in the woods. And, like, doesn't she talk to the police? I thought you saw her more. I really did. Like, not obviously throughout the whole movie.
You don't. She doesn't talk to the police. Oh. She appears at the very end and that's it. And I don't know. I have a hard time. I don't get me wrong. I appreciate this movie and I'm so happy it exists. And I think for the time it was probably a decent horror movie.
Did you see the remake?
I did not. I actually didn't even know there was a remake until I was doing research on this, because I'm not a giant Friday the 13th person.
You did, like, know, because I watched this movie in October and I told you about it. And I know I'm going to get a lot of shit for it because a lot of people really don't like it, but I fucking love the remake.
Do you really?
I love it.
I thought that was a different movie we were talking about. That's interesting. I'll have
because
to check out,
like,
the remake.
It kind of pokes fun at itself. Like, all you're not going to get, I mean, by no means is it, like, a quality horror movie. Like, you're not going to get...
No, but none of these are.
Right. But it's, like, I was so nervous when I watched the remake. But I was, like, obviously I'm going to see it in theaters because it's Friday the 13th. And, like, I feel like the people that made it really, like, took the time to, like, get the elements from the first two or three and put them in, like, the first... You know, like, put, like, Mrs. Voorhees was in there. Like, it wasn't just, like, Jason with his hockey mask. Like, he finds his hockey mask, and he's got the burlap sack first. And, you know, you meet all the shitty kids and whatever. But it also, like, they have Jason, like, doing archery and throwing fucking, like, axes, like, a tomahawk. Like, there, it's just, like...
I did see one kill in that trailer that I was like, that's the best kill I think I've ever seen in a Friday the 13th movie, which she's under the dock. Oh,
yes.
My God. That one's...
And there's so many other good ones. There's bear traps involved. Like,
but see, I probably would like that, because to me, that's what Friday the 13th is all about. It's all about the kills. It's not about the characters, and it's not... But this movie is not about the... Like, this one is... It's trying to be more than that. So because it's trying to be more than that, I have to put it in the same category as a film that's trying to have a legit plot. And this film, it just falls short for me. And I
see that.
I understand why people like it, and there's definitely things I really like about this movie, but I just don't...
No,
I think
totally
some
get
of it is really, really stupid, and...
I mean, I definitely think if this movie came out now, it wouldn't hold up, but because it is what it is, it's kind of just like a classic.
Although, have you seen Sleepaway... You've seen Sleepaway Camp.
Heck yeah, I have.
Okay, because when I watched part one... I really just want to be watching Sleepaway Camp so badly, because it's so good.
That
it's
makes
so much
sense.
Better than this movie. Okay, so yeah, I mean, my main thing is really the characters. There's really no character development, but they, like, attempt to have character development, which is really weird. They have a scene with Steve and Alice, who are the main people, Steve, who runs the camp, and Alice, who helps him run it or whatever.
Yeah.
There's a weird scene where she's, like, putting up a drain pipe on a cabin.
He's very creepy.
He's very creepy. And he grabs her sketchbook, and it's like almost like they hooked up or something. Like, you get the feeling that they hooked up and she wants to leave. So something didn't go right. Maybe? I mean, is that even something that happened, or did I make that up?
Honestly, I've always been really curious about that relationship because he does seem really weird. And I just thought, when I first saw the movie, not first, but like when I revisited it, I guess, I was like, oh, are they a couple? Like, is that a thing that they're a couple and maybe she's helping him open this camp, but she doesn't want to be there? But then they never address it for the rest of the film.
Because they have no character interaction. It's so weird. You don't even know the characters' names half the time. Like,
I don't. I'm just like, oh, there's Kevin Bacon. And then the girl with the weird boy hair.
I work really hard usually when I watch these movies to like make notes at who each character is. And I have a special part in my section in my notes where I write down the characters' names. And it was really hard for me to do that in this movie. I had a really hard time because there's so many characters and their names just are barely said. And so, okay, so she has maybe a relationship with Steve. She can draw. And then that's it. That's the character development. And then other characters hook up, but they could all be the same character. Like, they don't, there's no way to decipher between them. And I was like, wait, is that Brenda or is that, like, I didn't know the difference between the women and the guys. Like, I don't know, there's like Bill and Ned, and I, like, confuse them a lot. And, I mean, I guess Ned is the only one that actually has some sort of personality because he's the clown, right? He's the jokester.
Right. and then there's Jack, who's Kevin Bacon, and so obviously you know him because he's Kevin Bacon.
Because he's Kevin Bacon.
And then Alice, whose name I don't think I knew. Well, they say it a lot, but it never really stuck with me because I definitely agree that they aren't really singular people.
Yeah.
I felt like I knew the cook lady that dies in the first or second scene more than I knew anybody else.
Right? Annie was her name. Because you know her name because she says it like three times.
Mm-hmm. And she gives you her whole backstory. This is why she's coming to camp.
Yeah. She's a legit character with a backstory. It's like they created her and then gave up.
They're like, okay, no more character development.
Let's start killing people.
Cut her down. Get her out of here.
I know. It's kind of sad when she dies because she's the only character that I had a chance to get attached to. I will say Kevin Bacon's death in this film is really fun to watch. And
so good, right?
I love that. Yeah, I really love that. There's also, I don't know, there's some good kill scenes, I guess. But as a whole, this movie just isn't, it's just not something that interests me. It's fine. It's not definitely not my favorite of the series, but I understand why people love it so much. I do.
Well, and it definitely makes sense of why when you think of Friday the 13th, you never think of Mrs. Voorhees as being the original killer.
Yeah. Well, it's funny because the hockey mask is such an iconic thing, but it doesn't even happen till the third movie.
Which I'm just going to say I'm really excited for next week because 3 and 4 are definitely like...
3 and 4 are my favorites. Yeah. I don't know that I've seen 5 or 6. So it'll be fun for us to watch all these because...
I just love that part 3 was supposed to be in 3D. And so just like watching all the like elements of like them trying to use the 3D is amazing.
I'm actually going to bring my DVDs with me when I go to Florida, and I'm going to watch it with my 3D glasses on.
Oh, I'm so jealous.
I wish you could come and watch it with me because I have extra 3D glasses.
Oh my God, I wish.
When I bought it secondhand, and they sent me like 5 pairs of 3D glasses, which I thought was amazing. I was like, thank you. Oh, man.
They deserved a tip.
They did.
Okay, so tell me what you hated about this movie. We talked about it a little.
There's some continuity issues I had towards the ending. There's so many kills that happened during the rainstorm that I'm very confused when Mrs. Voorhees shows up at the end because she looks pristine.
Yeah, she's so dry.
She looks beautiful. Her makeup is perfect. Her hair is perfect. Her clothes completely dry, no mud, on her boots. How is that possible? Did she take a shower?
Because she's a
what
fairy.
Happened?
She's Camp Crystal
she,
Lake.
She had
murder
to have
fairy.
Been running around in the woods, chasing teenagers. She killed like 3 teenagers running around in the woods.
$10 How? That she had a poncho. She was definitely, she has a murder poncho.
She had to have had a full, like, Dexter suit.
But she did just come from murdering people in the bathroom. So maybe she has her
a change of clothes.
Her hair dryer and her makeup.
And makeup and I mean, that's outlandish. There's no way she did that.
Nor she is a really thrifty grandma.
Nor would she have had time to do that. Like, there's no way. There's no way that could have happened.
Betsy Palmer is a babe, and she just knows the fast tricks to make her look her best.
I think Betsy Palmer is probably kind of a jerk in real life. Can I say that? Is that allowed?
No.
Oh, okay.
It should be. That's fine. It's fine.
You know, the only reason she took this movie is because she needed a car and she couldn't afford one. So she took this movie so she could buy a car. She said after she read the script, and she's not wrong, that this script's a piece of shit.
She just tells it like it is, Amy. I don't see the problem.
I mean, I tell it like it is, too. So I guess I should give my respect to Betsy Palmer. But also, her acting in this, it makes me feel really uncomfortable. And not in the way it's supposed to. The talking to yourself and the kid voice thing, I just can't. I can't with that.
I was always really creeped out by that as well.
I mean, I'm creeped out by it, but I don't think I'm creeped out in the way I'm supposed to be creeped out. Where I'm just like... It's like watching someone who can't dance and think they can dance on the dance floor. And you're other people think that they can dance and they look okay, but you're just watching it like cringing. Like, oh my God, that person looks ridiculous right now. Like, that's how I feel when Betsy Palmer does her kill mommy voice. Like, that's how I feel about
it. But like, when you are... this actress who had this huge, great career in, like, the 50s, and then you get this shitty script that you need to take because you want a car, you're just going to be like, just tell me what you want for me. I don't.
If she's such a giant actress, she should be able to buy her own car without taking another movie. Well, she should have saved her pennies.
I think the pay was a little bit different back then than it is now.
I know. I'm really just... I'm only half serious. I do have respect for Betsy Palmer. I do think that her role is ridiculous, and this movie is kind of ridiculous.
When you go from being in movies with, like, Henry Fonda, James Cagney, and Jack Lemmon, and then you're in this, like, little 1980, like...
No one made her do this.
No, that's
she did
true.
It, she did it because she wanted to.
I'm standing up for Betsy Palmer.
It's fine. You, as an actress, you should.
I
however, could give two shits.
That's fair. That's totally fair.
Okay. What else didn't I like? I have a lot of, how is she spotless? How does she look so good? And when she's fighting Alice at the end, it's comical. It's comical to me. Like, she's so old. There's no way you couldn't just beat up this woman. How is she killing all these people?
Alice just must not have very much muscle mass, I guess.
And she's gotta be fucking strong. She's, like, wielding machetes and arrows and lifting people up and axes. I mean,
Betsy
you can't
knows
be
all
weak
about
and
the police system.
She knows... about pulleys.
She lives on a camp. She's very resourceful.
Oh,
I don't know.
My God.
I don't know.
I mean, no, it's totally fine. I just think this... Okay, here's the real reason I don't like it. This movie takes itself too seriously. It doesn't embrace what it is. And it's trying too hard to be Halloween. And Halloween is undeniably a million times better than this movie.
Agreed.
In every way. But it's trying to be Halloween. And if it... And this... And Friday the 13th eventually embraces what it should be, but it takes a few movies to do that. And that's how I feel about it.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree. And every single Halloween time, October, whenever I think about watching movies or anything like that, it's never this movie that I put on. It's always the remake. And I like I said, I totally know I'm going to get so much shit for that, but like, I genuinely love, I love the
you're
remake.
You're allowed to like the remake. I've never seen it, but you're allowed to like the remake, and I'm sure you're not alone.
It's people so like, fun. It's just so
it's
much
just, they're
fun.
They're fun slashers. These movies are supposed to be fun slashers, and I enjoy them when they're that.
And you might like, what's that guy's name from Supernatural? Jared Padalecki? Wasn't he on Gilmore Girls?
He's not from Supernatural. He's from Gilmore Girls.
See, that's why I was, but like, I know him for, I've never seen Gilmore Girls, so I know him. Actually, I know him from the Friday the 13th remake, and that's, I got into Supernatural after I got into that movie, but he is like the main dude in the remake, so you should check that out.
I watched the VHS trailer that they made for it, which is really fun. If you haven't seen it, you should watch it, because it's enjoyable. Okay, I think I'm done talking about this one. Do you have anything else you'd like to add? Oh, we should mourn the death of the snake that was killed in this movie, because that's bullshit, and I'm fucking pissed about it.
Yeah.
I don't even know that I would have wanted to do this movie if I knew that the snake was actually killed in the making of this film. And they
legit blame Tom Savini for it, because he's the one that got the idea.
Well, it's just so shitty. I love Tom Savini, but that's fucking shitty. And it was someone's pet, and they fucking killed someone's pet in front of them.
Oh, I didn't realize it was someone's pet.
Yeah. The snake was someone's pet, and they killed it, and the person who owned the pet was crying when they filmed that scene. And
oh,
rightfully
my God.
So.
That's no, not okay.
Why would you, first of all, why would you bring your pet? I mean, maybe they just owned the animal and they owned snakes and they hired him or whatever. I don't know. I don't know the whole backstory. I know that someone owned the snake and then they killed it for, and you know what, Tom Savini? If you're that great of a fucking makeup artist, make a fucking fake snake.
Exactly.
Like, how hard could that possibly be? Why do you have to kill a real fucking snake? I just don't understand.
That's really sad. I don't like that.
And that scene is fucking stupid. It just is. Like, there's no reason for it. There isn't. And even if there was, like, there was people throwing pillows at it. Since when does throwing a pillow at a snake kill it? Like, never. That doesn't kill anything except for, like, a fly.
That really sucks.
So, R.I.P., beautiful black snake that was killed. That was really sad. And I was really upset when I found out about it.
She texted me and she was like, I don't even want to do this anymore. And I was like, well,
I mean, we're still doing it.
We're doing it.
I know people are excited about it, but I just want to say fuck that part.
Yeah. Fuck it.
Fuck it. Okay.
With that
big bummer of a ending, let's move on to part two.
This movie,
sorry. I really bummed myself out.
Yeah.
Sorry.
So Friday the 13th Part 2 starts out very similar, not in, like, the events that happened, but, like, Halloween, where Halloween 2 pretty much picks up exactly where, whatchamacallit,
the, where it
Halloween 2.
Yeah.
I'm saying it right in my head, but then it's not coming
no,
out right.
I'm following you. I'm following you, and I'm sure everyone else is, too.
Where Halloween 2 kind of picks up at the exact point that Halloween ends, but then continues on Friday the 13th.
Isn't this 5 years later, though?
Yeah, but Friday the 13th, too, picks up with...
It's supposed to be 5 years later, though.
But it's a dream, but it still picks up where Chick kills Mrs. Voorhees.
Oh, yeah, in the director's version. What? Where did you watch this?
Hulu.
Did you watch? You watched it on Hulu.
Yeah.
I watched it on Amazon Prime, and I think it's a shorter version, and they didn't have that.
Well, son of a gun, because like the first 20, like I felt like it was 20 minutes. It might have just been 10 or 15, but it was a fucking long time that I sat there rewatching.
Oh, wait. No, you're right, because they shoot like the whole thing again. Or not, they don't shoot it again. They show the whole ending again.
Yeah, it's like...
It's really hard. It's really annoying.
It's like they just
spliced
the end of Friday the 13th and put it in... to the beginning of this movie.
Yeah, no, you're totally right. I forgot.
I don't blame you for zoning out, because
I totally did.
I
wrote in my notes, this was obviously before a time where binge watching was a thing, because holy shit, nobody wants to watch this whole thing again. Oh. man. Yeah, they show all the Betsy Palmer stuff again. They show the whole fight again. They show Jason jumping out of the water again.
They literally show the last...
It's my favorite ending. I love that ending, yeah. By the way, I should say. But that ending feels very Carrie to me, and I looked it up after, and it was inspired by Carrie. So there you go.
Jason's but, makeup, though, looks great.
The soft music, and you feel safe, and she's in a boat. What could possibly happen? And then all of a sudden, Jason emerges from the water and grabs her. It's great. It's a great ending. Doesn't make any sense, but at least it's fun.
Yeah.
It really doesn't make any sense. Because here's my thing with part two.
But then that's not even like the very end. Attempt. Then there's the hospital scene.
There is the hospital scene.
I wish that they would have just ended it with that.
Yeah.
But maybe it's just because I'm used to like movies nowadays just having all these cliffhanger endings.
I think the version I watched, it did end after that. No, it keeps going and then they show the hospital.
I always think that it ends with Jason grabbing her. But then I watch it and I realize that there's a hospital scene where they're like...
No, there is, but that's in the second one they show that.
No, it's in the first
one. Do they show that in the first one too? Because they show it in my DVD of the first one. Mm-hmm. But I thought, because I watched this on Amazon Prime, so I'm not sure if we watched the same version of the film.
Weird.
But
yeah, no, because the last thing that happens is she says, then he's still there. And then it kind of like fades out into the credits.
And I remember watching this on TV a lot growing up because it was always on.
They probably cut it when he dies.
They cut it.
Like,
yeah,
it should have ended.
Yeah. Anyway.
But anyway, we get a little bit of that in part two.
Yeah, we get that.
And by a little bit, I mean the whole thing.
It's all over again. Like, you don't even have to watch the first one. In fact, don't watch the first one. Watch the second one only, and then you'll know what happens.
Yeah.
Watch Kevin Bacon die, then watch the second one. There you go.
Just watch the remake. You're welcome. First three. I'm really pushing it.
You are. You're pushing it real hard. You might want to back up a little bit.
Never.
Never. Okay, so here's my problem with the second one. Is I don't understand how Jason's there. Like, is he a ghost?
No, he's a real person.
Okay, if he's a real person, then how does he get to Alice
in the beginning? He stalks her. I don't know.
How does he stalk
Honestly,
her?
Like, it's 5 years, the same thing.
It's 5 years later. It's 5 years later. She's living in a decrepit old house that's falling apart. The scariest looking house I ever did see. That's where she chooses to live after all of her friends get murdered and she gets attacked. She chooses to live on her own in an old abandoned house.
I would live in an apartment with door security. Like,
yeah, what are you doing? Nobody would do that.
I would not live in a huge house by myself after almost getting murdered. No way. I would live in the tiniest fucking apartment with like 8 dogs and security.
And she obviously isn't living near the lake anymore. Why would you still live in near Camp Crystal Lake after that?
You wouldn't, and I bet she didn't.
And at the beginning, okay, and then at the beginning of the original Friday the 13th, she says, I'm going to go back to California. So she lives in California? Did Jason go to California or does she live somewhere else now?
Jason got on the bus with his burlap sack face.
He got on the bus in Jersey.
Yeah.
Went all the way to California, killed her, and then came all the way back.
He's very, he figures it out. He knows all about money and buses and routes.
Makes no sense. It makes so little sense to me.
I totally agree with you.
I mean, this is what I love about this movie is this movie doesn't take itself as seriously, so it can do shit like that, and I'm like okay with it because I know it's just fucking Friday the 13th. Who gives a shit?
I wonder if someone like said that and like Steve Miner was just like, fuck it, who cares? Just put it in there. We gotta kill Alice. And then
don't
we'll
say that shit when I'm drinking beer. I just spit it everywhere.
Someone else will figure that out. Let's just shoot it.
We'll let the fans figure that out. They'll make up their own ideas. It's fine. And then they'll figure something out and we'll go with
exactly.
It. Exactly. Oh, I didn't even say that part. Sorry. Friday the 13th Part 2 from 1981, directed by Steve Miner, written by Ron Kurtz and Victor Miller. Steve Miner also directed Part 3 and directed House from 86, Halloween H20, and Lake Placid, which are some of our favorites.
I love Lake Placid so much.
I know you love Lake Placid. You bring it up regularly.
I do, because fuck like, Oliver Platt.
I feel like there's enough. There's at least three episodes, and this is our 12th episode. There's at least three episodes where you talk about Lake Placid.
Guys, you will learn from me that the things that I love so hard that, like, every time I think about them, it just makes me so happy, and I'll bring it up.
Oh, my God.
So, get used to it.
Yeah. Okay. So, Jason's not a ghost, but something crazy is happening there, and I guess that's just fine.
I think...
I wrote in my notes, he's either an evil genius, or he's a ghost. Or maybe both.
I don't know. I never, like... I think that it's just something that was never really thought about, and so who cares?
Right. It totally is. But it's ridiculous, and I need to at least mention that it's fucking ridiculous.
I definitely appreciate that you do mention it.
Okay.
So what did you think about this movie?
I like this one more.
Okay.
I'm not going to lie. Just because it doesn't, it's just silly, and it's okay.
The thing that I always think about when I watch this movie is just how big crop tops must have been in 1981.
Oh my God, because, like, so many crop tops.
So many crop tops and like lots butt of crop shorts. Tops.
Lots of butt shorts. Not booty shorts, because these girls do not have booties.
No, they're like butt shorts. My butt.
They're butt shorts.
You can just see a little bit.
Very flat butt shorts.
Yes. Yeah. Mickey Mouse cutoffs. No long sleeve cutoffs.
Yeah.
They're all over the place.
Oh, we didn't talk about the fashion of the first one because, oh my God, those 50s outfits were very 80s. It's like 1958. Here's our shorts that look like they're from the 80s and
the
our shirts that look like from the 80s and our haircuts that look like they're from the 80s. But it's 50 because we said so.
So good.
That's all you have to do, right? Just say what year it is and don't change anything else.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay, so my first problem with part two is when Paul, our new camp owner, because this isn't Camp Crystal Lake, this is a neighboring camp next to Camp Crystal Lake.
Correct.
Paul is giving his speech, and he's talking about how it's bear country, and he tells the women... keep clean during their menstrual cycle because of bears.
Watch out, ladies.
Keep clean during your menstrual cycle. He said that out loud to people.
What's worse is that someone wrote that in a script.
And thought it was a good idea.
Yeah.
I would have murdered him. I would have been the murderer in this movie. Keep clean. What does that even mean? Does that mean don't bleed all over yourself? Because nobody does that.
I can't even
keep clean.
I don't know.
Keep clean.
I got nothing.
Keep clean during your menstrual cycle because of bears. Oh my God. Sounds like something Dwight Schrute would say.
Oh my God. I feel like he would have like a more eloquent way of.
Yeah, he totally would.
Of saying it.
Because Dwight Schrute would have more respect. For the women.
Absolutely. And he, like, everything that he would say is based on facts according to Dwight Schrute.
Yeah, facts according to Dwight Schrute. Yeah, there is an episode where he talks about periods and how he likes them because then you know about the tides and the lunar cycles.
He's like, I wish that I had one because I would be more connected. I would be more connected. Can't even.
More connected. It's so funny.
Into Google, Dwight Schrute M and menstrual cycle just immediately pops up. Just FYI.
In case anyone was wanting to Google it.
I did it for you.
Just Dwight Schrute and M and menstrual cycle will just pop. You don't even have to type the word menstrual.
Mm-mm, you can't. You don't even have to get that far.
Yeah. Oh my God. I need sleep. We're delirious, guys. I'm sorry. I'm on vacation.
Oh, my God. Oh my gosh.
And, this is and the Carly's best. Sick. So it's really like not a like I'm drinking.
She's on
and
beer. Carly's I'm on cold medicine.
Yeah, not a good combination. Or maybe it is. We'll find out.
And when we get mad, you always ask us if we're on our periods.
I have to know whether you're serious or not.
I wish I could menstruate. If I could menstruate, I wouldn't have to deal with idiotic calendars anymore. I'd just be able to keep my previous cycle. Plus, I'd be more in tune with the moon and the tides.
See? Even Dwight Schrute has more respect for women's menstrual cycles.
Dwight gets it.
Paul from Friday the 13th, part 2. Just saying. Okay. I also like when Paul is telling the ghost story and he's like, legend has it. Dude, that happened 5 years ago. It's not a legend. You could pick up a paper and read about it. Legend has
oh,
it.
Oh, Paul.
Oh, my God. Okay. So, I like how they're framing Ralph for the murder again. But then Ralph gets it. Ralph is my favorite character in these movies, and when he dies, I mourn his death.
I was really sad when he died, too. And also really impressed that he made it through the first movie.
He totally did. Well, because he was supposed to be the killer. He's the person everyone probably thought was the killer when they watched this originally. Because he's creepy, he randomly shows up, the cop was warning them about... It was like the only setup they did in that entire movie. It was all of that. They put so much effort into it.
Ooh, fun fact. He's the opening narrator voice in part 7.
Oh, I love Ralph. Ralph's the best.
Yeah.
I wish they had more Ralph. I would like more
Me
Ralph.
Me too.
I'm also happy that Muffin survived.
Oh my God. That stressed me out. And it's like I've seen this movie before.
Did you forget if Muffin bit it or not?
You never know with these old movies what's going to happen to the puppy.
It's true. It's very true.
With adorable bow.
That was very cute puppy.
It's so funny. Jumping ahead, but the end of the movie where like Muffin comes out and then like she gets grabbed. I was just thinking, I wonder what that dog is doing. If the dog is just like, what the fuck just happened? Or if the dog was just like, peace, and just like ran out.
I feel like the dog probably wasn't even in the room when they filmed that sequence.
No, I know, but I'm saying like in real life.
Oh, in the movie time.
Yeah.
In the film itself.
That
probably
little lady
Muffin
didn't even
ran
bark.
Away.
She didn't even
I would
bark.
Think Muffin probably ran away. Yeah, no, she was like, fuck this, I'm 7 pounds. I'm out of here.
Oh, Muffin, with all that hair.
I do like Jason in this one. I think, I like the characters. There's a little bit more character development. Like, granted, the characters are very, like, one-dimensional, but at least they have distinct personalities, and I can tell them from each other. And so that I appreciated.
I feel like this is the most, with the exception of the time travel in the first one, or, you know, whatever, teleportation, I think this is the most human that we ever see Jason.
Yeah,
like
it totally is.
He gets hurt. He is kind of clumsy because he's like, he runs after people a little bit more.
Yeah.
I think he's also like at the end where she's like, got the sweater on, like he looks genuinely confused and like he's trying to figure out you know what's going on.
And that's a great scene. That's a great scene where she's very smart. She figures it out at the bar. She's like, I know, I totally get Jason. I'm in Jason's head. I feel bad for him. He doesn't know any better. He doesn't know any different. And puts on the sweater and pretends to be mommy. And I that's cool. Like, that's a cool idea. It was done well. It would have been kind of cool if she picked up the head and, like, put it where her head is. That doesn't make any sense, but it would have been cool. Hey, at the end of this movie, when they do the close-up on the head, it looks like it's a face underneath because there's eye holes.
I was totally going to say I was expecting her to open her eyes, even though I knew that wasn't...
I think... They filmed it that she did open their eyes.
Because she, I mean, that's a person.
Yeah.
Those are real
eyes.
They
probably filmed it and then they were like, wait, that doesn't make any sense. Maybe we shouldn't do that.
Scratch it. Bad idea. Pull it back.
What if we want to do another one of these? Then we'll have even more we can't explain.
This head is alive.
Oh, they totally had to, though, because it totally looked like a mask. You could see the eyes underneath closed. Because if it was a real body, wouldn't her eyes just kind of be rotted out or whatever?
I was going to say, that's what I was kind of thinking of. I was like, dude, Jason knows how to mummify a head.
Yeah.
It's pretty crafty.
Did a good job.
It's pretty crafty. Yeah.
Totally. What else? Like I said, I thought the kills were pretty good. Some of them don't make sense. There's, like, the part where the girl goes, she's looking for her guy she likes. I don't know the character names. The girl that's in love with the guy in the wheelchair.
Mm-hmm.
Goes upstairs. Is it her or someone? I don't know. Someone goes looking for them. No, it's her, because she's looking for the guy in the wheelchair because she wants to have sex with him. And then she goes upstairs, and I'm like, he's obviously not going to be upstairs. How would he get up there?
Use your brain, lady.
But she goes up there anyway, and then she... It's the slowest stabbing ever. She stands there and screams, and he very slowly stabs her, and clumsily. And she just stands there. I'm like, why aren't you running, or you're just...
She's not very running strange. Because she goes upstairs to look for the guy in the wheelchair. That's why she doesn't run. She doesn't have the brain capacity to understand common sense.
It's true. That's a fact. Also, when they find the bed filled with blood, they don't seem that frightened about it. And Paul, it's Paul, right? It's Paul and...
Paul and Jenny? Is that her name?
Yes, Paul and Ginny. And Paul and Ginny find the bed full of blood, and they're like, oh, well, maybe someone got attacked by a bear.
Someone didn't keep themselves clean during their menstrual cycle.
I told them to keep clean during their menstrual cycle, so you get what you get.
Someone's going
to
get a talk.
Sorry. They just did not seem very scared at all. And then they go downstairs, and it's dark. And Ginny's like, Paul, someone's in the room with us. And Paul's like, okay. And she's like, someone's in the room! She just stands there while he's getting attacked by the person in the room. And I'm like, Tony was sitting next to me watching this, and I was like, I want you to know that if someone was attacking you, I wouldn't just sit there and say, Paul! Paul! I would help you. I would get a hammer or something and hit them in the head. Like, I wouldn't just stand there freaking out. Because that scene is hard to watch.
I agree.
So it's like, why are you just standing there? The girls in these movies are just not tough.
No.
None of them are.
I mean, Ginny figured shit out, and she knew to grab the machete.
Yeah. I guess at the end, I did already praise her at the end. But in terms of, like, toughness, not that tough. No. Not like Final Girls are in movies now, mm-hmm. where they fucking hold their own and fight for their lives. I feel like here they're kind of like, all right, I'll try a little bit, but then I'm going to give up and you have to carry me back.
Yeah.
Exactly. Thanks for saving me.
Exactly.
So, but it's fine. I mean, it's this movie is just like, okay, I'm really looking forward to 3 and 4. And it's really weird to feel that way.
I know. It's like such a not normal occurrence.
Usually sequels aren't as good.
Especially
I'm
horror
sure a lot
sequels.
Of people feel like, yeah.
Usually people have people have one good idea for the first one. And then they're like, I just want to keep that going. And then it just gets worse with time.
Well, the good thing with this is that there's really no story to begin with, so there's nothing to really uphold. You can just kind of do whatever you want and just have this one killer that can't die.
Exactly.
So, like, it'll be interesting to see. I thought the ending was kind of weird, though, because she gets attacked, but somehow she's alive at the end, and there's an ambulance, but Paul's not there.
Paul's not there, yeah.
Where's Jason? I mean, I'm hoping these answers come to me in the third one. I really don't remember the beginning of the third one.
I don't either. I just remember them driving up to the house that they're staying in. But yeah, I thought that too, because obviously the last thing that you see is him jumping through the window and grabbing her, and then her waking up. Like, it's like literally like a fade between one to the other of her getting
carried
away.
Which is weird, because it's like the one part when I'm really interested in what's happening.
Yeah. They were like, we don't feel like filming the fight scene here, so let's just cut it and fade it into her being carried with a stretcher. Because people don't need to know. People aren't curious.
People don't need to know what happens.
I'm curious, Steve.
How's Muffin? No one gives a shit.
I want to know where Muffin is.
I want to know where Muffin is. I want to know all about Muffin.
And I want to know what happened to Paul.
Yeah. Where's Paul at?
Came back
and she even
her.
Says, where's Paul?
Yeah.
Yeah. She's obviously alive because of Paul.
It's true.
Or else she would have been dead.
Yeah.
Since Jason had her. All right. Well, I'm looking forward to next week when we do parts 3 and 4.
Me too. Very much so.
If these are your favorite movies, I'm sorry. I hate them so much. I don't hate them.
I don't hate them.
They're fine.
But I don't watch them super often.
No, and you know what? I just watched these in October because I hadn't seen them since I was probably in high school. Because I used to watch Friday the 13th on TV all the time in high school. And then, so I was like, oh, I'm going to buy the box, the first four movies box set, whatever it is. And I watched the first two. And I was like, oh, yeah. 3 and 4 are better than this.
I love.
Or more interesting.
Even as the characters are more fun.
Yeah. There's craziness happening, and the deaths start to get real gory.
The deaths. After this. The fun 3D effects.
Oh,
just people start getting silly. I think they kind of embrace just kind of like, maybe they took a cue from like Nightmare on Elm Street and how like it can be kind of cheesy funny, and so they like kind of embrace that a little bit more.
Yeah, like they're like, well, we don't need to be Halloween. We're not going to be as good as Halloween. Let's try to be as good as Nightmare on Elm Street. Which, honestly, I like Nightmare on Elm Street better, but whatever. That's just my opinion. Okay.
I really like
so,
that as well.
I wanted to... We'll close out our Friday the 13th segment for now and talk about what's going on with us a little bit. I wanted to throw around an idea I'm having.
I really like the idea, so I'm going to say that I'm on board.
Okay, I'm on board. I want to hear what our listeners think. This would be something we'd start in January. I have to admit something to you all. It's really hard for me to say this.
Gosh.
It's really emotional. I'm really sorry. So I don't want to upset any of you, but I've actually never seen an episode of Buffy the Vampire Slayer. I know. I know.
I was in shock when she told me this. Because when I found out that Buffy was on Netflix, I literally just never stopped watching it.
Yeah.
I've seen this the whole series like three times.
That's how I'm with Gilmore Girls. The thing is, I really liked... Okay, so here's my reason why I never watched it. I was really into Buffy the Vampire Slayer, the movie.
Yeah.
I loved the movie. Loved it. It's a great movie.
So good.
I haven't seen it in a million years. It might not be good, but I loved it at the time.
No, it's cheesy awesomeness.
Is it still cheesy awesome? Because it was always
cheesy. Which is
cheesy
why the
awesome.
Show is so good, because the show is cheesy awesome.
I know, but it's hard when your movie turns into a show with completely different characters and different personalities and different people playing them. I had a hard time allowing my brain to agree with that. So I just never watched it. And then I found out later, like, oh my God, a lot of people like this show and it's supposed to be really good. But then by then it was already too late. It was off TV or whatever.
It's never too late.
The only reason I'm saying this is because I think starting in January, I will start watching Buffy the Vampire Slayer, and we will do a special segment at the end of every episode where I talk about where I am in Buffy the Vampire Slayer and how I feel about it. So if you think that's a good idea and you want me to do that, give me a shout out.
Maybe we can just do it. If people are like really against it, we can just do it for ourselves, because
I don't think anyone's going to be against it. People are probably going to... I think people would be interested in that. I'm going to go ahead and finally watch this show from a million years ago that I should have watched from the beginning.
I'm seriously so excited.
I'm doing it. I'm going to do it.
It's so fun. And there's
I know, Angel and Spike and the girl from How I Met Your Mother and the weird monsters. And the vampires?
Cordelia, there's Xander, There's Buffy and Willow and Giles and everybody in between. Dude, that was right. The same voice of Aladdin is on there.
But if
there
I watch
bunch.
This, I don't have to watch Angel too, right?
No.
Was Angel also a good show?
Honestly, I think I watched it a little bit when it first happened, and I watched some of the crossover episodes, but I've never seen a full season of Angel.
I'm gonna watch Buffy the Vampire Slayer, and Carly's gonna watch Gilmore Girls.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes.
Deal.
Yeah. Hopefully that works out good. I'm excited. I'm excited to watch it. It'll be fun.
It's good and it's easy. The episodes are really short. And there's some really good ones, like the Gentleman episode. Oh my God, I'm so excited.
Okay. So I promise, starting in January, once the Christmas craziness is over, I will start watching Buffy. Okay. What else? What else we got going on? I'm about to head over to Florida. I'm going to go to Universal Studios and see my girl Casey. And
jealous.
Visit family who's there, which is the main reason I'm going. And yeah, I'm gonna go check out some of the cool stuff at Universal. I know they have a really cool horror makeup thing happening there, so I'm excited to check that out.
I didn't realize that. That's awesome. Take pictures. Yeah. Take pictures.
I will. And I will wear my Gremlin sweater while I'm there, because even though it's Florida,
why
I'm
wouldn't
sweat
you?
Through it. I need to wear it. I'm just really excited to wear it, honestly. What else? What else is going on, Carly? Other than you being ill.
I'm sick, and so I'm probably going to watch a lot of things today. I'm behind on Exorcist, so I need to catch up on
that. You know, Gilmore Girls is a great show to watch when you're not feeling well.
I should probably start the Gilmore Girls.
You should totally start the Gilmore
TV
Girls.
TV show.
Yeah.
From the beginning.
Okay. From the beginning.
None of the...
Episode 1. Boom. Get to learn about Chilton. You have to start from the beginning so you can learn about Chilton. And you can learn about Lorelai and her relationship with her mother, and how complicated it is. There's a lot of depth there. There's a lot of stuff happening. You have to start from the beginning to really absorb these relationships.
And if I have any questions, I have an expert that I can always reach out to.
I am 100% an expert. I know more about Gilmore Girls than anyone else I know.
Cool.
Except for maybe... Kevin from the Gilmore Guys, because he knows the episodes by number.
Oh, geez.
I can't do that. He's like, in episode 204, I'm like, I don't know what episode.
But see,
he could
be making that up and you would have no idea.
That's true. I would have some of an idea.
How many seasons are there?
There are 6, in which Amy Sherman Palladino was the creator. Okay. The 7th season was someone else doing it, because Amy Sherman Palladino left because of issues with the CW.
Okay.
And then she came back and did the newer ones. She had a plan for how she wanted it to end, so it didn't end the way she planned on it ending. So that's why everyone was really excited about the new ones, is because it was going to be her ending. But obviously, fast forward quite a few years because of
age and stuff.
Yeah, but
that's cool. So. Did you appreciate the Netflix?
The new ones. I really appreciated them. I am so happy they exist. I had some issues with them, of course. Mm-hmm. There were some very strange choices that were made in terms of side stories. You'll learn when you watch Gilmore Girls that the characters are really quirky and fun, and you really love them, and the town that they live in is very weird and funny. Mm-hmm. But there were some really long parts where I feel like there was no plot and there was so little time to tell us a story that I feel like they focused on these stupid stories that kind of took away from it as a whole. But I also really loved it, and I thought that the characters were still, their hearts were still there, and, they were still the same people, and I did get to have some sort of resolve. I think the ending, there's gotta be more. There has to be. They left it on such a cliffhanger, which is upsetting, but...
But also kind of leaves you a little bit hopeful, because maybe you think that they could do something else with it.
Honestly, I kind of wish it just ended.
Gotcha.
But I could tell by the second, after the second episode, that there was no way they had enough time to tell and give an ending that would have been comfortable. Because you'd need to kind of do that from the beginning. They only had four episodes. I mean, granted, they were an hour and a half long, but... Okay, I'm talking a lot about Gilmore Girls. I'm really sorry, guys.
I think it's interesting because I like that... I think it's interesting that Netflix does that, where they take these shows that don't necessarily have, like... and the endings that the fans want, and then they, you know, explore it. Because they did that with, did you ever watch that show, The Killing?
Yes.
Which is so good. And then it just
ended. It really was.
And so I was very happy that, like, it got that extra six episodes to really, like, this is the end. Like,
But did they do what they should have in those six episodes?
I mean,
that's debatable.
I feel like maybe the way that you feel like with the Gilmore Girls is they only had these six episodes. They needed to wrap everything up because obviously that's the end of their story, I guess.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So,
but they didn't do that in Gilmore Girls. They wrapped up two of the characters. Two of the characters had closure. I felt comfortable with how they left them. And one of the characters, they really didn't, they made it worse, not better. Mm-hmm. So, it's hard. It's a tough pill to swallow, but it's also Amy Sherman-Palladino. She's not all about making you feel the warm fuzzies all the time. You feel uncomfortable.
She's like Shonda Rhimes.
You watch things. She is, and she's,
which I appreciate, but I also hate.
She's
sometimes.
Kind of a badass, and she knows what she wants to do, and she does it, and fuck everyone else. And I appreciate that about her. I respect her a lot, so I try not to give her too much shit. But there were some parts where I was like, "Are you fucking kidding me? What are you doing?" But amazing. I mean, that's part of her fun. Also, is that she does stuff that makes no sense and is unexpected.
Totally.
So, anyway, okay.
That's enough Gilmore.
TV talk. Nothing about
it might,
horror movies. But.
Yeah, we might talk more about it if I watch Gilmore Girls this weekend.
Yes. While I'm ill. I'm okay with that. And if they don't like it, they can just turn it off. Whatever.
We're not making you listen to this.
Whatever, guys. You have to listen to us. Please listen to us. Please.
Please be our friends.
Please. Please be our friends.
We've been having a lot of fun on Twitter. I like what's been going on there. So.
Yeah, I'm really liking all the interaction.
Me too.
We've gotten a lot of new followers recently, and I really appreciate that. I really also appreciate the retweets and telling other people to watch, listen to us is really encouraging and wonderful.
Super awesome. It always makes me smile when I see like that notification pop up.
It really, really makes us so happy. I know I keep saying it. The stickers are on the way. I will be ordering those soon. Probably after I get back from vacation, I will order those. So give it another month.
We'll get them. It's the holiday season. Gift. Things are crazy.
Yeah, it is. Also, if you have time to leave us a review or just rate us on iTunes, we would really appreciate it. We don't even have enough ratings on iTunes to show up with a rating. So if we could just get even just a few more, we would actually have a rating on there, which would be lovely.
It would be
really
amazing. Otherwise, like, Amy and I are going to have to start writing our reviews, and that's sad.
Yeah, I don't want to write myself a review, guys.
I'll write you a review, Amy.
Okay, I'll write you one.
Amy's
you write
so knowledgeable.
One.
5 stars.
Carly always helps me to pronounce things correctly. 5 stars.
High five. I like it.
And she also likes Lake Placid.
So much, guys. And the Friday the 13th remake.
And the Friday the 13th remake. All right. Thanks to Troy from Cave Bastard for our song Sequencing the Drone. And Jason Link for our amazing logo. Please visit finalgirlshorrorcast.com for additional information on them.
And also, I'm going to cut you off. I'm going to also a shout out to Dayquil for getting me through this episode.
Hooray, Dayquil.
I've not been paid for this. I can't even say paid. I've not been paid for this promotion, but...
You've been paid in feeling better.
It's true.
And that's
and delusion.
Worth all of the money in the world.
And also delusion.
And a little bit of delusion. You're way more talkative than I thought you would be.
Me too.
Feeling like shit. I really appreciate that, Carly. Thank you. And I'm going to let Carly go to sleep now, guys. She's so, so tired.
Need it.
But thanks for tuning in and see us next week. When we cover Friday the 13th, part 3 and 4. Very much looking forward to talking about a specific dance scene that may be in part four.
Crispin Glover.
We can talk about it later. It might be with Crispin Glover. It might be my favorite thing ever. You'll find out on next week's episode. Until then, bye-bye, my lovelies.
Bye-bye.